Africa requires you to use all of your senses. Hi, I'm Rick Steves. Coming up today on Travel with Rick Steves, wildlife artist Fred Krakowiak explains how the animals and landscapes of Africa speak to him when he's on an artist's safari. And Francis Tapon's about to discover another side of Africa. He's setting out in just a few days on a 3-year voyage, one country at a time, to every one of Africa's 54 nations. We caught him just before he leaves to see how he's doing it. Many indigenous societies in Africa and all around the world are dying out. At current trends, half the languages spoken in the world today will disappear within a generation. Phil Borges wants us to get a glimpse of the predicament facing many indigenous cultures. He calls himself a social documentary photographer. He invites us to meet indigenous Tibetans eye to eye in his stunning photo book called Tibet, Culture on the Edge. Phil joins us right now to share how he gathers intimate photographs of remote societies. Phil Borges, thanks for joining us.
Hi, Rick. Great to be here.
Phil, for you, you want to make photography, it seems like, a force for good in your work. How do you make your photography have an impact on people? What's your goal?
My goal is to take people that we think is very abstract and part of an anonymous group as individuals. So I usually have them look directly at the camera. When I present them in my books and in my exhibits, I have a little bio that gives their name, their age, a little bit about their family, any interesting aspect of their lives, so we can look at them and think of them as just another individual, much like us.
So you've done many different books featuring different slices of this world. I'm holding your Tibet Culture on the Edge book here, and clearly you had an interpreter with you when you were doing this work because you interviewed each of your subjects.
Yes, always.
Do you interview them first and they get comfortable with you and then you're having a better time shooting them?
It depends, but what I do typically when I say I'm going into a tribal area, the first thing I do, I bring a Polaroid camera with me, and I start taking Polaroids of the kids.
That's a great idea. It gets everybody loose, and you're on their team, and it's fun.
That's right, and kids are very open all over the world. I mean, they're the same, especially boys for some reason, but they all want to have their Polaroid taken. They take those Polaroids home to their parents or to their little mud huts or wherever, and then pretty soon the parents want a Polaroid. So that's one of the icebreakers I use when going in. But I typically, when I meet somebody, I walk up to them and start talking to them because they can read my body language. And I'm talking in English. They can't understand me. Pretty soon they're talking in their language, and we're both laughing about it. And then I'll call over the interpreter and let them know what I'm there for, what I'm doing.
When we think about traveling around the world and photographing people, I would imagine every culture has a different idea of what is beautiful. Do you have a sense of that when you're in a different culture, is what is not beautiful from our point of view, but what's beautiful on their terms?
In terms of human beauty?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, well, one of the things that happens quite a bit when I hand out these Polaroids, I've given Polaroids to people that haven't seen their face, and they can't believe it's them. They'll have to have a friend come by and look at it and point to it and say, yeah, that's you.
There are people on this planet that don't know what they look like.
Oh, yeah.
That's fascinating.
Yeah. Less and less all the time.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's interesting when that happens. In terms of beauty, you know, I have this book, Enduring Spirit, which is tribal people and indigenous people all over the world, which I carry with me. And I'll take that and I'll let them look through it. And they'll look at, somebody from Irian Jaya, say, and I'm in Africa. They might have bones coming out of their nose and a penis gourd on. And they'll laugh. Oh, geez, that's the strangest thing. How could anybody do that?
You know?
and here they're sitting there with, a lip plate in their in the lower lip that's about 6 inches in diameter. So, you know, we all have our own senses of what's beautiful.
But what struck me when I looked through your Tibet book was that there was a very fundamental beauty in each subject. And it wasn't your standard American beauty. They were not necessarily beautiful by, you know, advertising standards in the United States. But there was a fundamental beauty that transcended, you know, how smooth was their complexion. Are you aware of that when you're working?
Oh, yeah. That's what I'm attracted to. That's what I love taking pictures of.
That's in the raw beauty.
It is. It's just a very natural, enhanced in any way. Look at the way we're enhancing beauty in this country.
Yeah. But is this beauty that we see in the rough, is that a function of the strength of their spirit? Because sometimes you see somebody, they just go, there is one proud person. There's a person who's on top of things, who's fulfilled.
Yeah, yeah.
No, does that energy come through?
Yeah, definitely. I don't know. There's something about being close to the earth.
Yeah.
And in that cycle. And, you know, there's dirt on their face.
Beautiful, beautiful
people. Yeah, it's just such a beauty.
When you are dealing with people in different cultures as a photographer, do you find different people have a different fear or reaction to the camera? Some people just can make love with the lens, and other people, you're the enemy. How do you get through that? What are the taboos and so on?
Well, first of all, you know, I teach a lot, and students are always wondering, how do you break the ice? And first of all, you have to be comfortable with yourself in doing it, and that takes a little bit of practice. But I've been in so many different cultures and tribes, and, you know, I've never heard the term, I'm afraid you're trying to steal my soul. To me, that's an old wives' tale.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was Ethiopia down in the lower Omo Valley with the Mersey tribe. For some reason, when I was down there, there was a belief at that time that something would come out of the camera and blind them. So they would, when I would hold up the camera, they would duck their head. But other than that, you know, I find it much easier to take a picture of a person like this than a picture of somebody in our culture. Mm-hmm. In our culture, we're worried about, okay, am I going to look too fat, too old,
right,
too this, too that? They're mostly, especially if I'm using a light, they're caught up by, you know, geez, this is interesting.
It's pretty trippy,
yeah. Their attention isn't on themselves, it's on me. And it's an outward-directed attention that gives a stronger image.
Do you find it helps to give them some business, smoke a cigarette, fling a prayer wheel around, or just be alone with the camera?
You mean while I'm taking this picture? I usually let them be alone when I'm doing portraits. Now I'm doing more films, and I just want them to do what they're doing, and I'm filming. But I pretty much want them just to be there with the camera.
I'm Rick Steves. This is Travel with Rick Steves. We're speaking with Phil Borges. And Phil has written a number of beautiful travel photography books. His latest book is Tibet, Culture on the Edge. To learn more about Phil and his work as a photographer and a traveler, you can visit philborges.com, P-H-I-L-B-O-R-G-E-S. Phil, how do you go beyond natural lighting? It seems like you've got a sun gun going on or something, even in daylight when you're taking these photographs.
Yeah, it's evolved over time. And I started carrying Lumadyne lights, which are battery-powered, and I used a big umbrella. Now I mostly shoot natural light because these cameras have gotten so good. The dynamic range is so wide that I can take a picture even of a dark-skinned person against a light background, and I'll be able later in Lightroom in post-production, to pull out the sky.
Oh, so these days you can manage it with the post-production.
That's right.
What we would call Photoshop, I guess.
I use Lightroom and Photoshop.
Yeah, so you don't need to monitor the light so much with fill light and all this sort of extra work in the field.
That's right. I still bring it along just in case there's a situation that needs it, but less and less all the time.
Phil, just to talk shop a little bit for our photographers that are listening, do you use a tripod? What sort of extra gear would you use or would you recommend?
Right. I very seldomly use a tripod personally. I want to be able to move quickly. Mm-hmm.
I thought a lot of photographers just swear by a tripod, but your shots just look perfectly crisp. So you've got enough light to get a crisp shot without a tripod.
Yeah, these new cameras that you can shoot up around 3200 ISO. It's incredible.
And you don't get graininess when you have that much ISO?
They're pretty clean. The latest one I've heard about is very clean.
And then what's the deal with shooting raw? A lot of people, they see that option. You can shoot raw or high definition or medium definition.
So most cameras have an onboard computer that will take the raw data and interpret it. They'll make the contrast what they think it should be and the color correction what they think it would be. And then they spit out an image in a JPEG format.
Right.
But that's throwing away some of the information.
You can go raw and come home and do that work after the fact?
That's right.
Is that the idea?
That's right.
Do you take advantage of that?
Oh, you bet I do.
So
shoot everything in raw.
As a professional photographer, you're shooting raw because you want complete flexibility when you get home to pump up this or saturate that or whatever.
Exactly.
Interesting. And I love your mastery of the depth of field. It seems like you're very aware of what you want out of focus and what you want in focus. Can you talk about that for a minute?
Right. Well, the eye in any photo goes to what's in focus, what's the lightest, and how it's composed. So you can use those tricks to guide the viewer to look at the
and what's out of focus but still in the composition really adds to the composition.
Yeah, you can see what's back there in the background even though it's out of focus. So you can tell the story of the person's environment or what they're dealing with.
How do you help the eyes pop? Because that's really important, I think.
Yeah, if they're looking straight at you, and usually that the light would help me do that, and I can lighten just slightly the white part of the eye in post and make them pop just a little bit more. So, you know, I fiddle a lot with my images.
You wrote you want to create a relationship between your audience and the subjects. How do you do that?
Just having that direct, curious look. And as I say, it's easy to get with these people because they're very curious about me, because I look very different. They're very curious about my equipment. And I just want them to be projecting outwards towards the audience so the audience will feel that.
You're bringing home individuals, individual people.
Yeah. I want to get them out of the abstraction of their group. Right. I want them to be individuals.
We can learn more about your work at philborges.com. And Phil, what's next for you? What's on your agenda?
I'm headed for Dolpa in Nepal, a very remote region of Nepal right next to Mustang. And I'm doing a film on maternal health there. A lot of women die in childbirth and a lot of babies die at birth.
So you really believe your photography can be a force for good?
Yes. Oh, yeah, definitely.
Phil Borges, travel photographer, producing many beautiful coffee table books, most currently Tibet, Culture on the Edge. Thank you so much, and best wishes with your photography, your travels, and highlighting the beautiful diversity and humanity on this planet.
Thank you, Rick.
Phil Borges is also the founder of Bridges to Understanding, that teaches digital storytelling to teenagers across cultures. You'll find links to his websites in the radio section at ricksteves.com. Seeing the wilds of Africa with all your senses. That's next on Travel with Rick Steves.